T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. Ignition. Liftoff.
From the Professional Disc Golf Association, this is PDGA Radio News.
Welcome to another exciting edition of PDGA Radio News. This for the week of March 17th, 2008. Once again, I'm Steve Kaczynski. On the agenda for this week's program, I have a 60-second clinic with Brian Schweberger, an interview with David Feldberg. Also, the updated list of world rankings was announced, so we'll take a look at the movers and shakers and possibly a new number one player on both the men's and women's side. Yeah, stay tuned for more on that, along with the rest of your PDGA news and information on this week's edition of PDGA Radio News, being brought to you by Discraft, Innova Champion Discs, the PDGA, and the International Disc Golf Center.
Hey, disc golfers, Brian Sullivan here, cruising the message board today to see what players are thinking of the new Discraft driver called the Force. User Disc Speed is saying that the Force has awesome glide and a really true flight path. And he goes on to tell this funny story about sending one so far it splashed into a lake nobody ever even considers reaching. Better grab one of these puppies for yourself or prepare to get outthrown by your buddies. The Force, a maximum distance driver from Discraft.
Welcome back to PDGA Radio News as we take a look at this past weekend's tournament action. We had 23 tournaments on the PDGA schedule, including three internationally in Belgium, Australia, and Germany. The biggest tournament for the pros was an A-tier in Florida with the Melbourne Open. It was Florida's own Ken Climo picking up another easy victory, shooting 16 under through the four rounds to beat Corey Weisenberg, who finished at 4 under. Garrett Gerthy finished in third place at 3 under par. Pam Reinecke won the Open Women Division, and Billy Seaman took the Masters title. Amateurs had an A-tier on the other side of the country in Orangevale, California, with the St. Patrick's Classic. It was San Francisco's Patrick Brown winning in advance by one over Mike Westwind. Brittany Breed won for the advanced women, Ray Birch in advanced masters, and the intermediate division went to Dave Pena. There was also a B-tier in Long Beach, California, where Carlo Pelg notched a victory. Steve Brinster won in New Jersey. Mickey Pennington won in Kentucky. Gage McNutt notched a victory in Ohio. Mike Edwards won in North Carolina. Marcus Roberts won in Texas. Matt Dollar won some more money with a win in Georgia. And for another money-related pun, Andrew Rich got richer with a victory in Oregon. And finally, Kyle Pinkman beat out a field of 16 to win the Clash at the Corn Palace, the first ever disc golf tournament held in Mitchell, South Dakota. You're listening to PDGA Radio News. This week's 60-second clinic is just moments away.
Located on the scenic shores of Clark's Hill Lake in Columbia County, Georgia, is the Mecca of disc golf. The PDGA International Disc Golf Center, a must-see for anyone who's ever played the sport. With a full-service pro shop, state-of-the-art training center, and two championship-caliber courses, it will challenge and improve every aspect of your game. Also, visit the Ed Hedrick Memorial Museum, home of the Disc Golf Hall of Fame, and don't forget about the IDGC monthly tournaments the first Saturday of every month. Yes, it's all at the world's premier destination for the sport of disc golf, the PDGA International Disc Golf Center.
You're listening to the PDGA Radio News for the week of March 17th, 2008. This week's 60-second clinic is from Brian Schweberger. The topic is how to maintain a proper mental attitude while disc golfing.
A lot of people have asked me about as far as how do I take my tournament rounds and how I stay mentally tough and try and keep a positive attitude when I'm out on the course. And I definitely attribute it to playing other sports and while I could play college tennis, and you really have to stay in the now during when you're playing tennis, because you don't get much time to recover after each point, and you just gotta make sure you stay focused all the time. And I've transferred that over into disc golf, because when you're out there, I mean, you got a lot more time to think, and if you have a bad shot, you just gotta put that bad shot out of your mind, because you're gonna have a lot more time in between your shots, because you gotta wait for other people to throw, and you're still thinking about that bad shot you just threw, and as soon as you get up to your next shot, you gotta be able to make sure you have all that bad energy and thoughts of your previous shot out of your mind before you take that next shot. Because if you don't, it's just gonna make your next shot have a higher chance of being a bad shot again. So, when I'm trying to get over that bad shot, the first thing I do is I smile. I mean, it sounds kind of crazy, but you gotta laugh it off a little bit and say, wow, did that really just happen? And say, okay, one bad shot? Hey, let's make one good shot. And I say, then after I make that good shot, hey, there's one good shot in a row, and I go over and try and make another one. So, just gotta stay positive no matter what, and just have fun with it. If you can't have fun after you have a bad shot, you're just gonna keep continuing on and making bad shots again. So, just stay positive and have fun with it.
My thanks again to Brian Schweberger for helping us out the past several weeks with the 60-Second Clinics. Next week, I'll begin a series of clinics with David Feldberg, right here, exclusively on PDGA Radio News. Speaking of news, let's take a look at this week's PDGA news. The AM and World invite packages should be arriving via email or snail mail for those who did qualify. Emails with the information will be sent to anyone with an email address on file with the PDGA office. Otherwise, they will be sent through the regular postal service. Official registration for the tournament will open April 1st for those who qualified. Otherwise, it opens to all PDGA members on June 1st if spots are still available. The tournaments will be held August 11th through the 16th in the Kalamazoo and Battle Creek, Michigan area with Bell's Brewery as its feature sponsor. The official tournament website is www.2008discgolfworlds.com. Well, we're still early in the 2008 season, but the race for the world's top-ranked player is neck and neck on both the men's and women's side. For the men, it is still Ken Climo holding on to the top spot, but he's just hundredths of a point ahead of David Feldberg. The rest of the men's top 10 after Climo and Feldberg is Nate Doss in third, Steve Rico is fourth, and followed by Josh Anthon, Jesper Lundmark, Avery Jenkins, Barry Schultz. Eric McCabe is up five spots to ninth, and Mike Randolph moved up six spots to be currently ranked 10th in the world. On the women's side, it is still Des Redding leading the list, as she has each and every week during its two-year existence, but Valerie Jenkins is closing the gap and is within reach of overtaking Redding this year if her strong play continues. Carrie Berlegar is third for the women, followed by Elaine King and Angela Chick-Fry. The ranking formula is somewhat complicated, consisting of a player's rating in B-tier and higher tournaments, along with their order of finish at the major tournaments each year. This year, they include the Memorial, Japan Open, Pro Worlds, USDGC, the Players' Cup, and the Scandinavian Open. And the final piece of news to pass along to you this week is that the PDGA office is currently accepting nominations for the 2008 Bob West Memorial Sportsmanship Award. For these purposes, sportsmanship is defined as someone who observes the rules of play and wins or loses with grace. So do you know of an unsung PDGA member player who consistently exhibits the qualities of sportsmanship and camaraderie during competition and also contributed in significant other ways to the positive growth of the sport of disc golf for several years or longer? Well, if you do, we'd like you to be very appreciative and send an email and brief statement outlining the qualities and contributions of the proposed candidate. Send those to Brian Graham at the PDGA office. His email is bgraham@pdga.com. Do hurry, though. Those submissions need to be in by next Wednesday, March 26th. The office will review the candidates received and list those most deserving on the ballot that will be voted on by the Touring Pros, state, province, and country coordinators, also the major and NT event tournament directors and the board of directors and staff. Last year, Timmy Gill was the recipient of the Bob West Memorial Sportsmanship Award. So nominate someone you like and maybe they can win the award. PDGA Radio News will continue next with an interview I had this past week with David Feldberg, currently the number two ranked player in the world and winner of this year's first national tour event, which was the memorial presented by Discraft held earlier this month. Sometimes it's difficult to believe that 25 years have passed since Innova's Dave Dunapace created the world's first true golf disc. Those triangular rim discs were faster and more accurate, immediately commanding the attention of all who played. Tournament players instantly recognized that Innova discs provide an undeniable competitive advantage, and our discs have since been used to win more major titles than all other brands combined. Our love for the game remains strong. Innova Champion, celebrating 25 years as the industry leader in disc golf. PDGA Radio News being joined this week by David Feldberg. He was the winner last week at the Memorial presented by Discraft down in Arizona, the first national tour win of the year. It was a dramatic victory. Congratulations, Dave. Tell us how it feels to start off the national tour season with a victory.
Oh, it feels great. It feels great to come back, and I started last year with an NT win, the same one at the Memorial, and it made for a great season. And I want to have another good season, and so we're on the same track. It feels great to be consistent and know that I'm still playing at the level I was last year.
Now, the next national tour stop, I believe, is Bowling Green.
You know, they had treated me pretty well when I was on tour, and then I didn't go to the tournament for years because it always fell during our midterms while I was going to college. And I went last year, and I struggled a little bit on one of the courses, and I finished, I believe, fifth. So it wasn't too bad, but I'm hoping to do much better on the courses this time, and they usually shape up pretty good for me, but it was really cold and really windy last year, so I'm hoping the weather's nicer there this time.
Now, you're one of the players who's pretty much got a tournament just about every weekend. On average, how many weekends do you take off a year?
Well, you know, actually, I've come back quite a bit, and I probably play 20 to 30 weekends for PDGA play and 5 to 10 non-PDGA play, so I probably take at least 10 to 15 off per year, minimum. And, you know, the other 5 to 10 non-sanctioned ones, those are pretty much like taking a weekend off. I get to go hang out with a group of people I like somewhere and, you know, I'll play, you know, some fun rounds where it doesn't count and, you know, just for a little bit of money and a little bit of fun. So.
Now, when you do take a weekend off or maybe over the winter a month off, are you really completely getting away from disc golf or are you still practicing and playing just about every day?
Well, it changes. Last year I played every single day, and, you know, before the 2007 season, and I practiced, and I worked on my techniques and got in shape, and I came out and played well. And then this year, I wanted to do that, but I didn't. I played maybe, you know, 5-10 times over the winter, and I just got, you know, worked on getting in better shape and losing weight and just being ready, and I started playing ball golf. I played ball golf like 3 times a week, making a hobby out of doing that. And me and my girlfriend, Melody, just that's all we do now, is we even played on Tuesday. We got back from the Memorial, and we went right out and played ball golf.
How are you at that, though?
You know, I've only been playing for 3 months, and we're not too bad. Actually, I shot 88, and she shot a 106. And it's about par 66 or something. It's not 72, but it wasn't bad. I can break 100 on a real course once in a while. But, you know, my goal is to be a consistent break 100 player. And that's why I picked it up. I just want to be able to go out with family and friends when I'm older and now and enjoy those days when everybody goes golf.
Let's skip back to the Memorial. The final round, you shot what I would have to consider one of the best rounds of your life. Would you agree with that?
I would agree with that.
I didn't even
realize it at the time. I just was playing and, you know, I look at the back at it and all of a sudden I get 9 out of the first 10 birdies. I didn't even think about it at the time. I was just playing every hole. And in the past of my career, I always knew, oh, I'm at 6 down. No, I'm at 8 down. No, I'm at 7 down, you know. And during this round, I had no idea. I didn't know until someone said something like, hey, are you going to miss a hole? You know? I go, oh, miss a hole. I guess I haven't missed the hole yet. So it was a different thought process.
So it did feel differently as you were playing compared to a normal round?
Yeah, I just felt like I was just out there playing well, and I wasn't thinking about trying to win. All I was thinking about was each shot, which is unusual for me. If you look at my career, I'm always thinking about what I need to shoot or what everybody's at, or I always got caught up in that. And this time, I really just focused on every shot, no matter what, how easy or hard the shot was. I did the same routine every time. If it was a 10-footer or a 30-footer, I did the same routine. And just played the game, and it worked out for me. And next thing you know, the score just started to tabulate, and I was like, wow, I must be playing pretty well. And it just kind of happened. And I think that's a new thing I've been using all year. And in practice, what I did practice is patience. I never had patience. I was always, you look at when I did play really well and I was winning a tournament and then I lost, I rushed every shot. I'd get up on the tee pad and just rush every putt. And people would tell me, slow down, calm down, you know. And so this year my whole goal is just patience. If I can just wait and take my full time, I mean, I'm in no rush to get anywhere. It's my time. Why am I in a rush? So I'm really working on patience, and I think that helps the game. Like if you can just be calm and take your time and execute your shots, you can play a lot better.
Yeah, now you entered that final round 3 shots behind Barry Schultz. And a player of Barry's caliber, you might consider 3 shots pretty tough. Did maybe that help with your thought process? You know, I'll just go out and play the best I can, a 3-shot lead, we'll see what happens?
That's basically it. I knew that I wasn't out of it. I knew I had a chance, and I knew that if I just played my game that it could work out. I knew that I beat him on that course the first time we played by 1 shot, and that I had left a couple strokes out there. So I thought, you know, if I just played my game and see how it goes. And I felt like there'd be a little pressure on him. Like, people are saying, well, he's the 2-time world champion and, you know, a great player, but he had an off season last year, and he hasn't really broke back into the scene to dominate any big tournaments since, you know, he took some time off and wasn't playing as well. As players go through their slumps like I have and other players. So this is his chance to come back on the scene and say, you know, I won Vegas and now I'm going to win the Memorial. I'm back. Look at me, you know. And I thought he had a little pressure on himself to show everybody that he was still, you know, the dominant player. So I was feeling like most of the pressure was on him during the round. So I wasn't feeling as much pressure as I usually would.
And right as you erased his deficit, he decided to throw in his second ace of the weekend. How did that affect you?
Well, you know, the first time it really affected me, and I just felt kind of demolished a little bit, and that's how I let the lead get to 3 instead of just 1 or 2 by that round. And so the second time he did it, I didn't feel demolished because I was under the basket, and I had a lot of people there supporting me. A lot of crowd was pulling for me, and they're like, you know, yelling, it's only one shot, it's only one shot. People were yelling right out of the crowd. You know, don't worry about it, you're only one shot. And actually, Zeppi is his name. He came up to me on the tee pad, and he's one of the guys that follows the rounds a lot at all the major events. And he goes, he saw me, and he goes, so is this the last hole? And I go, what do you mean is this the last hole? There's 7 holes to go. And he goes, exactly, so that's only one shot. You can still do it. And I go, yeah, that's right. There's still 7 holes to go. It's not over. I haven't lost. So I just kept playing, and it worked out.
It did work out for David Feldberg as he went on a win by 2 throws over Barry Schultz, collected the first place check, and holds the early lead in the Woodchuck Cider Drive for the championship season's point series. You're listening to PDGA Radio News, a service of the Professional Disc Golf Association. More from David Feldberg after this.
Looking for official PDGA merchandise? Look no further than PDGAstore.com, your official online source for instructional books and DVDs, collectible discs, tournament supplies, stylish PDGA apparel, the newly released 2007 Pro Worlds DVD, and of course, the ever so valuable PDGA membership. Go online to PDGAstore.com, buy some cool new gear, and take the sport you love to even higher levels.
One final part to the Feldberg interview I had for PDGA Radio News. I asked him what tournaments his fans could expect to see him play this year.
I am planning to play most of the Nationals. I'm traveling to Denmark to play the Copenhagen Open next month. They're taking there. Then I'm flying to Japan and do the Japan Open. And then I'm flying to Stockholm doing the Stockholm and Scandinavian Open. So I'm doing three overseas trips, plus most of the nationals, all the majors. And I'm hitting a lot of small tournaments. Like this week I'm in Virginia playing the team tournament. It's unsanctioned, just, you know, because I want to support the effort out here. And I'm playing lots of B-tiers. I'm going to play a B-tier in Montana, a B-tier in Washington State, maybe one up in Maine. I'm looking to go play places where they have good purses and good competition, and most top players haven't been there yet, just to, you know, get us in there and try to bring the places that aren't on the map, you know, show them what's going on out there and see what they're doing and see how their progress is. So my goal is to maybe play a little less A-tiers this year, a little more larger B-tiers.
Thanks again to Dave for that interview. You can hear more from him over the upcoming weeks as he joins us for a series of 60-second clinics. It's time now for a look ahead at this upcoming week's action across the disc golf world. However, with Easter being celebrated by many this upcoming weekend, the tournament calendar is a little lighter than usual, just 11 tournaments scheduled, most on Saturday. They include the second annual Aloha Sushi Classic in Walla Walla, Washington, also the Rocket City Amateur Open in Huntsville, Alabama, the Evansville Open in Indiana, the Flying Disc Festival in Fontana Dam, North Carolina, and the Falcon Thaw in Bowling Green, Ohio. And don't forget, March 29th and 30th brings PDGA Radio and more than 700 other players down to Bowling Green, Kentucky for the Bowling Green Amateur Championships. Also, don't forget that same weekend are A-tiers in Raleigh, North Carolina, Orangevale, California, and Davenport, Iowa. Check the whole schedule online at pdga.com. Click the PDGA Tour link and scroll away. That's all for this week's edition of PDGA Radio News. Until next time, I'm Steve Kaczynski. PDGA Radio News is hosted and produced by Steve Kaczynski, exclusively in contract with the Professional Disc Golf Association. Advertising inquiries along with comments about the show or programming ideas may be sent to the host via email at pdga.radio@yahoo.com or by contacting the PDGA office. All sound effects and production music used with permission from Magix Music Maker and A1FreeSoundEffects.com. All content is otherwise exclusively owned and copyrighted by the Professional Disc Golf Association and the producer.
Goodbye.